Blog Talk Radio.
Really glad I was.
There we go. Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice?
Yeah, she didn't want to talk.
Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances,
I did get a short little conversation about a week or so back about married life and whatnot.
Is GLaDOS married now?
No.
Oh, she was talking to you.
Yeah. I wanted to know why I would do such a thing.
Did she have something to say about the fleshy humans?
Yes, she did.
Wow, we're all quiet like we're talking to each other. This is what we do before the show. We'll talk for a little while, then we get quiet because we're working on stuff.
I know, we're horrible.
I would also like to point out that that low-down, dirty, blonde boy that works here with us has a Twitter. Yeah, and decided to Twitter. His first Twitter was not to his peoples here, but to some other peoples. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's in trouble.
Yeah, he is very much in trouble.
Mm-hmm. I can find him again.
You want to find his Twitter? It is, yeah, you guys look and see the first person I Twittered this morning. You'll find his Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Because I don't want to have to look him up because I'm lazy.
Or the second, yeah, he's the first thing I Twittered this morning. How you doing, Ginger?
I am doing great. How are you?
I am, 5-hour energies. Be afraid.
Yay! We like us some, yeah.
You like us? You haven't tried those yet, I told you.
No. I don't want to. Oh, there we go. I don't want to bounce off the walls.
It's not like that. It is an alert thing. It's not like drinking Red Bull. There's no crash. When they say there's no crash, no joke. You don't crash. It's just suddenly you're very alert and all cylinders are firing, and it tapers off all natural. Again, no crash. So, awesome sauce.
That does sound like awesome sauce. Because I think that's the main thing I'm worried about is the crash.
Nope, no crash. Okay, you know what? GLaDOS, stop it. You can't just be talking all in the middle of the podcast. So, we got tons, and I do mean tons of news this morning. I don't even know where to begin. There's stuff that's available on the Xbox Live Arcade today. There's new games. Oh, God.
Yes. There's drama. There's drama. There's more drama.
Intrigue. Trains.
Oh, there's stupidity. There's so much drama. And then there's some kind of, ooh, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm, exactly. So what you got, Ginger? Because you're going first. You're going first,
huh? I guess I'll start with the flight first. GamePolitics.com this morning. Amazon versus California, round two. Looks like they pulled this from the New York Times. While Amazon might be on the precipice of usurping legislation passed earlier this year by the state of California with a voter referendum this November, lawmakers are on the attack. The New York Times chronicles the fight going on in California and in their article, which you can go check out over at New York Times, which is interesting because it pits traditional retail in the state against online retailers. Earlier this year, the state passed a law to collect sales tax from any online retailers that have a physical presence within its borders, including resellers and those that earn money from referrals. Amazon, which is headquartered in Seattle, Washington, has no plans to pay its portion of that sales tax, which the state estimates is around $100 million annually from all online retailers, not just Amazon. The big problem for lawmakers is that most online retailers, most notably Amazon, are not playing ball. The company cut its ties to anyone in the state that has a physical address and has argued that its only presence there, a manufacturing facility that builds the Kindle, is not subject to the law because it is not engaged in actual commerce.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Further, Amazon easily collected 50,000 signatures it needed to put the whole online sales tax issue on the ballot in November. This has ticked off more than a few state legislators who are already trying to pass emergency measures to kill that November vote. The New York Times article notes that Democrats would need at least 2 Republican votes for their bill to become law. That prospect is a long shot no matter how they slice it. Meanwhile, Amazon offered to open up distribution centers in the state if California gave them a free pass on the sales tax collection. Governor Jerry Brown and legislators have already said no to that proposal. But not everything will come up sunshine and roses for Amazon either. Assuming that voters invalidate the sales tax law, powerful lobbyists are waiting to sue Amazon in federal court, such as the California Retailers Association. The real question is, should voters in the state be forced to pay sales tax on online purchases? Remember in the 90s when you couldn't get a politician to say it was a good idea to tax anything on the internet? Clearly, those days are in the rear view. But should consumers in California really give a state that continues to mismanage the tax revenue it already receives an additional $100 million to spend? The writer goes on to say, we don't have answers, just more questions. We'll follow, or we'll continue to follow the story as it develops. Yeah, and so will we. This is, you know what, California, you guys?
Insane?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that y'all have dug yourselves a huge hole and that your financial reasoning is, oh my God,
it's a little off.
Yeah, it's a little off. Y'all have literally, I hate to say you screwed the pooch because I hate that saying, but yeah, you have.
Wow.
Bad California. Bad, bad, bad they, California.
They're the reason they make the case for there is a such thing as too much sunshine.
Too much sunshine and too much medical marijuana.
Oh, damn. All right. So here's an interesting thing going on this morning. A lot of you were griping about your Netflix over the Labor Day holiday.
It was crappy. What was going on?
And you were one of them. Well, the scoop is I've got it from a couple different sources. So, and we're really not sure which is which. And we may make Ginger go find out. I don't know. but the consensus is we've been checking around. You got a couple of different sites offering some their own theories. And I say theories because I don't believe anyone is concrete just yet. Netflix hasn't released any statement. But via Stop the Cap, Netflix and Engadget, they're wondering if this was them reinforcing their one stream per customer policy. Remember they were saying?
No, we were only running it on one device, and it was so slow and kept cutting out. And
Now, VentureBeat is reporting that it is, that they're believing that this was them inching closer to launching their new subscription options, which they reported back in April, and we told you about as well, that they're planning to offer family accounts, which means so you can run it on more than one device, that would enable the ability to watch multiple streaming videos at one time. But Engadget is saying after they managed to speak to a spokesperson over at Netflix, he said the policy has not changed, and no Netflix member is limited to less than 2 streams at once. Says people, of course, we're getting an error, and they're working on fixing that. However, there were a couple people that were complaining that they were trying to watch season 1 of Star Trek The Next Generation. Completely disappeared from Netflix over the weekend.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah, because you know some geeks love them, some Star Trek. You don't mess with the Trek. You don't mess with any of those ones that have Star in the title. Star Trek,
no.
Star Wars. Yeah, bad.
We finished up all the Stargate the other day.
I am not a fan of the shows. I'm sorry. I try.
I was up through Stargate Atlantis. I loved Stargate Atlantis. It started off a little rough, but I liked it. The Stargate Generation. Oh, no. Or it's not Stargate Generation. Stargate.
Something.
I can't even think. It's like Battlestar Galactica meets Star Trek meets everyday soap opera.
I can't do any of them.
And there's no gates. You're not going to the gates. You're in a ship.
No, I'm not. Well, like I said, not a fan of any of those. I'm not a fan of Star Wars unless it's a Star Wars game. I love being a part of whatever's going on.
Yeah.
But I hate watching movies and stuff. So y'all can hate me. The games, I will play any of them. Anytime, anywhere. I'm still waiting for another good Jedi Academy because Jedi Academy 2 sucked. But I need a new Jedi Academy because I loved it. I was always on the dark side. Anyway.
Imagine that. Corey was always on the dark side.
Well, that's actually, in the first one, that's actually the harder way to go because you have to fight everybody. Not just, you know, and when you were on the light side, you only had to fight the dark side people. And the guards and stuff were on your side because you're good. But when you're dark side, you got to fight the guards, people, the light people, your own people. So, yeah, I picked the harder option. But that's just how I roll. I always go the hard way first. All right. So, anyway, you Netflix people, we don't really know what they're doing. Rumors abound. As soon as we find out something, we'll share with you. Like I said, we may send Ginger over because sometimes it just takes fluffy cakes because the guys can't get a straight answer from what we're checking around.
Something, because this is just nuts.
Yeah, she may have to go over there.
I'm going to be all like, hey, I was trying to watch my shows. What the hell?
Hi. No, you have to send them a text, a voice message. Hi, I'm Ginger. From GameGeeks.com and Gamer Girls Radio, and I want to know what happened to my Netflix. Can you tell me?
Yeah, that totally sounds like that should be me doing that. Hey.
I won't be able to talk like that in a few hours. This is that morning's.
Fanning myself already. That's hot.
All right, girl, get over. It's your turn. I got bunches of news. Stuff is coming in as we speak. They're trying to kill us this morning, I swear.
Right. There is so much stuff today. All right. Something else. Music Works announces release of Gears of War 3, the soundtrack.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Where can we get it?
Let me see. Something else. Music Works Incorporated, through its licensing relationship with Epic Games, proudly presents Gears of War 3, the soundtrack. Gears of War 3 is the spectacular conclusion to the to one of the most memorable and celebrated sagas in video games. Having sold more than 13 million games worldwide, developed exclusively for the Xbox 360 by acclaimed studio Epic Games, Gears of War 3 plunges players into a harrowing tale of hope, survival, and brotherhood. Gears of War 3, the soundtrack, will be released simultaneously with the game's launch on the 20th of September to retail outlets through Something Else Music Works, which is something, SUMTHING.com, and for digital download at somethingdigital.com, Amazon MP3, iTunes, and other digital music sites. So it looks like we can get it at Amazon and iTunes. Gears of War 3.
Or, well, we ask them, can we just have it? Can we just have it?
yes, please. Gears of War 3, the soundtrack, features the original music score by Steve Jablonski, who also wrote the music for Gears of War 2, Michael Bay's The Island, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Transformer movies.
Which Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Is it the original or the...
It doesn't say.
Okay.
And you know there's like a billion of those.
Yeah, I only acknowledge the first one made in the 70s, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The veteran film composer created nearly 80 minutes of new music for the latest installment of the Gears of War franchise. The score is an impressive organic and electronic hybrid mix featuring live orchestra and choir performed by the Northwest Sinfonia and mixed by Remote Control Productions.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Composer Steve Jablonski, Gears of War 3 is huge. It was like scoring a summer blockbuster. I love the guys at Epic because to them, the characters and story are just as important as the gameplay. Yes, the gameplay is awesome and badass. Sorry, people. But there is a ton of depth to these characters, and I think that's a big part of why so many people love this franchise. People, do not be texting me during the show. Epic's commitment to story allows me to dig deeper musically and really have some fun with the score. In Gears of War 3, players fight on as Marcus Fenix, the grizzled war hero and leader of Delta Squad. 18 months after the fall of the last human city in Gears of War 2, the war against the Locust rages on. But a new enemy has emerged deep beneath the surface, a fearsome new threat, the Lambent, is infecting the planet from within. With survivors scattered and civilization in ruins, time is running out for Marcus and his comrades as they take up their lancers to make one last push that will ultimately decide the fate of humanity. Yay!
Woot, 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 woot.
Woot, woot.
All right, there is... Well, first of all, I need to share this Twitter with you because it's for Ginger. J. Duke say you make any Gears of War news sound hot.
Thank you, J. Duke.
What you trying to say? I'm not hot. Oh, see, that's how people get that. another quick announcement. If you are interested in GDC Europe, we do have we follow it down at the bottom of our page, bottom mm-hmm. left, automatically updated. You don't have to wait on us because sometimes we're asleep when stuff's going on over there. Go ahead and jump in. Yeah. All right. I got no less than 3 PRs just now.
Very nice.
first of them, and of course I have to do them because 2 of them are out of Texas. You know how we feel about our Texas people. So, you people that are Troy Aikman fans, remember him? Yeah.
Oh, I do. Oh, I remember being in the... Oh, Cowboys what? Stadium, and they had the ads for his Wrangler jeans up at the time.
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But Troy says, venturing into the virtual space, breathe, ginger, hands above the desk. He's launching a new fantasy football app for Facebook today. It was developed by Prediculous, Inc. and Sporting News. Aikman's 2011 fantasy quarterback is the first truly social fantasy football experience that makes the game accessible and enjoyable for your casual and you hardcore people alike. It is free to play. You simply pick your four quarterbacks every week, and their team competes in a league to win points. Quarterback choices are clear for users, and if no pick is made, the game will choose players automatically. To assist you in choosing players, Troy Aikman will be making his own weekly picks and broadcasting them in an exclusive video within the app. Nice, Troy. Aikman's picks will also be accessible within each league to help players compare the performance of their picks to his. Different from any other fantasy football game on the market today, Aikman 2011 Fantasy Quarterback makes the game easy and eliminates the tough requirements to play in a league. For example, league sizes are traditionally limited to 12 people, while the Aikman Fantasy Quarterback 2011 opens up the league to 100 people. Players can also join mid-season. Using the Facebook platform, players can easily find friends to invite into their league while enjoying bragging rights by swiftly sharing results across their social network. Also, the time commitment to play is only a few minutes every week compared to hours with other fantasy games. Like other highly popular social games, stay with me, voice, players will also be able to use Facebook credits to enhance their game performance. The quarterback is the most important and exciting position on a football team, said Aikman. I don't know about that, Troy. You're important, but not the most important. Knowing a little something about that position, I wanted to create a fun fantasy game centered around quarterbacks that anyone can play. From casual fans to longtime fantasy players, this game gives everyone a shot to play and win. Added Sean Coyner, who is the Director of Digital Marketing and Chief Creative Officer at Sporting News Social Solutions, said that they're very excited, I'll be back to that again, to extend their long relationship with Troy and work with Prediculous to deliver Aikman 2011 Fantasy Quarterback. We know the game will be fun for our core audience of real sports fans, and we hope the social elements and ease of playing on Facebook will attract more casual sports fans as well. I'm a casual sports fan. According to Taylor McLevor, somebody thought I was going to say Lautner. Breathe, people. No. CEO.
He is cute. No.
He is a cutie. He says there's more than 20 million fantasy football players out there, but the current games on the market are wrought with a bunch of complicated rules. We've developed the Aikman Fantasy Quarterback app to be the March Madness of fantasy football. Completely social, easy to join, and perfect for small and large groups to play. Again, the app is now available on Facebook at Aikman Fantasy QB for fans to create a team or league and start inviting their friends to play. This is very interesting and unique.
That is.
Mm-hmm. I was never into the fantasy football thing because it is a lot of trouble to get involved. Maybe I will play.
I've just never been into it.
We are in football country.
We are, but I like to go see it.
See, you
I don't want to go see like the Cowboys or anything. I want to go see like high school or college football. Those games are so intense, and the fans are so into it.
Yes, and
you cannot
help
but just get swept up.
I think that the college and the big boys need to draw more from the high school experience. We need a band there.
Yes.
I need some cheerleaders. I need halftime with a drill team, the official drill team. Like, I need the Texans official drill team, not cheerleaders. But, you know, I needed to just be the full experience because that's what I love.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I love the yelling, the screaming, and the girls and the boys.
Girl, I don't know what it was like for you going to high school, but for me, when we had schools, we had two high schools in town. They would cordon it off, and there were police that had to go around and make sure that neither team went to either side because
– yes.
It was that much of a rival. It was nuts. I mean, you sat on one side, we sat on one side, and you were not allowed to mix at all because it was just trouble if you did.
We had quite a few high schools. I was in the second largest school district in the state of Texas, which is Aldine. Yay, go Aldine! yes, yeah, still a Mustang for life, baby. But, yeah, same thing. It didn't cordon off because we weren't a town, but the area, yes. And there was lots of smack talk, and our biggest rivals was MacArthur High School, and was hard for me because I grew up with the people at MacArthur. But I went to the other school, so I was, you know, trying not to smack talk. But on occasion, it would be a do-do-do. Yeah, let me speak to so-and-so. Uh-huh. This week, going down. You're going down this week. Click, you know.
So, you know, it was not, yeah.
I'll be over Sunday for dinner, by the way. Put your mama for this. So, yeah, rivalries. It's so much more intense. And they can't really do that at the professional level because, you know, it ends up being on the news. But it should be all in good fun. And they're getting paid millions. They should be able to talk a little smack back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, don't really fight, but I like a little, you know, your hands are so slippery you couldn't catch a ball if I threw it to you. I need some of that.
Yes. I loved that.
Delicious.
That was so awesome.
Delicious. Okay, Blaster's responding to my, he says he only did it to win a contest. We don't care why you did it.
Uh-huh.
That's even worse, Blaster.
Uh-huh. That's totally worse.
Now he says he's off. He's not going to do Twitter again. Oh, you are so cool. I'm done with you. Ginger, what you got next? Because I got more Texas news after this.
Well, I've got a couple of... Actually, I'm going to do two short ones back-to-back here.
Do it.
GamePolitics.com this morning, they have got a story about a game trailer. Morons on parade, they say. Slavery, the game trailer. Mm-hmm. All right, so they say it takes a unique kind of person to create a video promoting an obviously fake video game about slavery, a sad part of our history that the majority of Americans do not find much humor in. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, we live in an age where the internet allows for all kinds of free speech, even the kind we do not agree with, find offensive, or find to be outright disgusting. Still, sometimes you have to look straight into the abyss to see the foolishness of humanity. Perhaps this is one of those moments, so we present the promotional video for Slavery the Game. Clearly, it's not being developed by a spinoff company of Creative Assembly, Total War series developers, and the offices for the U.S.-based company that allegedly is developing it, Javelin Red Games, does not exist. Sega and Creative Assembly were quick to say publicly that they have nothing to do with this game, quote-unquote, I like that, as well. But truly, the thing being played is a game involving one anonymous jerk and the rest of the internet. All right, there is a trailer over at Game Politics. If you want to check it out, personally, I'm not even going to give them the hits. I'm not going to hit play.
Well, what is it? Well, I want to see what they did and see how humorous it is. How fine a line did you walk? Did you do it well enough to laugh?
There's that, yeah. All right, I said I was going to do two, so I'm going to grab my second one now.
Give me a link to that after you've done that one.
Okay. Yeah, I will do that. Former Homeland Security Director joins Sony. This is also coming from GamePolitics.com. They pulled this from Industry Games. Sony has hired a heavyweight in its ongoing fight to protect its online game services from hackers. The company has hired Philip Ruttinger, former director of the U.S. National Cybersecurity Center, as its new Chief Information Security Officer. Ruttinger's key duties will be assuring the security of Sony's information assets and services. He'll have his work cut out for him, no doubt. He will be in charge of providing information security protocols across the entire company and implementing new ways to keep all of Sony's precious data safe. Ruttinger will report directly to Sony's Executive Vice President and General Counsel, Nicole Seligman. While nothing can provide a 100% certainty of safety, Sony is moving in the right direction. It's a shame that it took millions of people's user data to be stolen in order to get the company to think about securing its networks and systems. .. I love that. That's so awesome. Well, you know what, Sony? I guess it's good.
I guess it's good.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think it's more of just, you know, hey, look who we've got. How much is one man going to be able to change it? I hope a lot, but I'm not going to be holding my breath. Especially, I don't know if you paid attention, but when they opened the National Cybersecurity Center and they had the website up, they had their little picture, their graphic, everything, whatnot. There was a code inside of it. And they're like, the first person to break this wins so much money, whatever. It was broken in 4 hours. And I was like, yes, this gives me the utmost trust in these guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm fussing it. All right. Sounds like I'm fussing a bit. Okay. So.
Get him.
Yes, he's catching it. Okay. So, Certain Affinity, who's also out of Austin, Texas, and who I got to spend a day with, there's a lovely Irish gentleman there that I had a crush on for the day. it's time to go visit again. Oh, yeah.
All right, that was loud there for a second.
I love me some accents. Y'all know how I roll. I was just following him around all day like a lost puppy. Just talk. But this is Certain Affinity. Hello, Certain Affinity. It's been too long. Well, they're saying they're proud to announce the launch of Crimson Alliance for Xbox Live Arcade. Crimson Alliance, of course, is set up to so that four players can join together on the couch or on Xbox Live, hack, slash, bash, and blast their way through the sinister cult of the Soul Siren in this all-new cooperative action RPG. Of course, they are best known for their work on Halo, which is why we were down a couple years ago, Left 4 Dead, and Call of Duty franchises. But President Max Hoberman, and I do believe that's my favorite little Irish guy, says that action role-playing games have always been in the company's blood. We love RPGs, and we really wanted to bring some of the fast-paced action and tactics we learned from working on so many great shooters in the genre. He says Crimson Alliance won numerous awards at the industry events this summer, including four Best of Nominees at E3. Crimson Alliance goes live today for 1,200 Microsoft points, but gamers also have the choice of buying a single character for a reduced price or downloading a free trial version of the game, which includes all character classes. For more information, of course, you can visit CrimsonAlliance.com. And I was about to give out other information that you're not supposed to have. but we do so adore them at Crimson Alliance, at Certain Affinity. And it's funny to see them finally making games. A very talented group of guys there. So cute, so nerdy.
How we like us nerds.
And such gentlemen. Nobody tried to grope me at all, although, you know, the Irish guy probably could have got away with it.
That's
I love
awesome.
Me some accents, dude. Oh, what can I say? Oh, man. That's my second favorite one.
That is awesome.
Wait, since that one's short, I'm going to do a second one.
Okay.
Now, I have to do this one, of course, because we have one of our former Gamernatrix alum. Hi, Zach, is over at Big Fish Games, and they're announcing today that they've appointed David Stevenson as their chief financial officer following more than 20 years of senior financial and operational leadership over at Amazon.com. Yeah, remember Ginger was telling you about that a little while ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he left them, and he also was at Procter & Gamble way back when. His responsibilities at Big Fish are going to include oversight of the world's strategic and business planning finance operations. Fancy way of saying I run this. David's experience, values, and performance orientation make him an excellent cultural fit for Big Games. This is from Jeremy Lewis, who is the Big Fish chief executive officer and president. His demonstrated track record of leading operational finance teams focused on large and complex consumer markets aligns incredibly well with their business and their plans for extending their operations, brand, and product offerings across multiple platforms and geographies. Yay. David was at Amazon.com for about 11 years, most recently as the vice president of finance for Amazon. Wow. Oh, he handled the North American retail division, which is about $15 billion he had control of. Wow. Well, welcome
to... Why didn't any of that make it into my pocket?
Well, some did, but, you know, we got bills. so go over and check out Big Fish. More importantly, harass Zach and tell him, I heard you used to work at Gamernatrix. I think it's up on his Facebook page. Who knows? Zach changes his Facebook like every 2 seconds. I do want to point out to Zach again, and yes, I'm calling you out live on the air, that cowboy hat you have on your Facebook page is wrong. I told you that when you were here. Just because you worked at a Texas company don't mean you get to wear a cowboy hat. No, no. Okay.
All right. I'm going to get shot for this one.
Uh-oh.
Getting Naked with a new remix of the game. Oh, yeah, really big sky. I just had to say it because it was Naked. All right, giving things away for free is both the gift that keeps on giving and the new black. Boss Batty released Really Big Sky in July to a lovely, cozy reception. Since then, we've been dishing out the free content updates with the addition of new bosses, new enemies, new events, and entirely new game modes. And that's what I want to annoy you about today. I love that. We've updated the game to the Naked Remix 2.30. I love Naked. Naked! Dentist's favorite time, ho ho ho, which includes Naked Mode, a mode dedicated to the hardcore purists who believe upgrading your spaceship is the equivalent of holding a woman's handbag while she tries on clothes. Remix Mode, a funhouse ride of thrills and spills as wormholes appear to throw you from one game mode to another. You could be cruising along in pacifism mode, and bam, you're in retro mode. Oh, that's hot. Alright, so Orb Enemy... annoying spacey orb that spits lasers would not be invited to a wedding. Fireball enemy. Shoot the fireball this thing generates to magically invert it to smash back into this bad guy. Phew. And Pandora's Box. Turns out Pandora's Box was just full of counterfeit watches. Smashing it open causes time to go all funny in a Doctor Who way. Oh, it looks like they're also dishing out review codes, which I'm not going to give you that link because I'm keeping it to myself. and they say if you don't want to review it, that's fine. Play it anyways. Help us fill up the scoreboard. The scoreboards. We're also available for chats, interviews, barbecues, and bar mitzvahs. You know what? You guys, I got to play your game just because y'all are hilarious.
A funny developer. That's how you get them.
Yes. All right, so if you want to see this, I'm about to put it up on GameAndAtrix.com, and I'm actually about to put up a YouTube video as well. But if you want to check out their website, it's bossbaddie.co.uk/BigSky, which, again, just go to GameAndAtrix.com in a couple of minutes, and you'll get to check it out.
All right, well, here's an interesting turn of events that's over at VentureBeat's games section. I don't know how this is going to go over, and we may have to track him down. Well, professional video game players just got a big endorsement as NBA star Gordon Hayward has signed on the IGN Pro League. Normally, I would not mention those people on air, as you all know.
Mm-hmm.
Hayward, of course, who's a forward for the Utah Jazz pro basketball team, will try his hand at the eSport of professional video games in a league sponsored by News Corp's IGN. That makes it even worse. Now that I know News Corp owns you, bleh. Okay, so the move will bring more credibility and new attention to the fledgling spectator sport of pro gaming, fledgling, which has struggled for years to be recognized as a real sport. I'm going to tell y'all now. Wait, let me wait till the end of the story. Okay, Hayward's signing should put to rest the notion that video games are for non-athletic kids. Hayward will play in his first professional match in StarCraft II gaming tournament in Atlantic City during October 6th through the 9th. Like a number of pro athletes, Hayward is passionate about StarCraft II, a real-time strategy sci-fi game published by Blizzard Entertainment. He says he's been playing games for as long as he can remember. He's a competitive guy, and he loves the competitive nature of video games. Pro gamers are really sports stars themselves. The mental strategy that goes into planning your next move and what your opponent is going to do are skills you need to be successful playing basketball and playing StarCraft II. Other pro athletes that have a passion for gaming include, of course, Kevin Garnett, who's a forward for the Boston Celtics, who recently played American troops during Activision's Call of Duty Black Ops event. Hayward will train with IGN coaches and challenge global StarCraft II stars who go by the nicknames such as IDRA, Select, and White Raw. The prize pool will be $100,000 at Caesars Atlantic City, which will host 256 qualifying players. David Ting, who's the general manager of esports and head of research at that place, Entertainment Group, says that the games are becoming a dominant entertainment medium, and the event aims to show how pro gaming can become as popular as mainstream athletic sports. IGN has launched their IGN Pro League back in April and has 1.2 million unique visitors, 6 million, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I'm going to say this, and some of you will be angry. Gaming is not a sport. I really wish they would stop trying to put it in the same category. This is male thinking. We have our own unique place in the cosmos, and it is not with athletes that play basketball or football, and we should stop trying to compare it as such. Because it's kind of the same thing. What if I walked into a football field saying, you know what, I think I'm just going to play me some competitive football now. I think I'm just going to do it because, you know, I've been playing it on my couch for years, so that means I'm qualified. No.
Guys.
Whereas as an athlete, you know, we've had athletes that have switched sports. One has done well. I can't remember the name right now. Yeah, one has switched from, what was it, baseball to football. What was that guy's name back in the 80s, 90s? I forget his name.
I don't know. Well, no, it didn't work for Michael Jordan going from basketball to baseball.
No. Bo something his name was, but and the hardcore sports people want to know who I'm talking about. He went from football to baseball, and he wasn't exceptionally well at either, but he did well enough. But this is not a sport. I can't be, and I don't like that they put chess in the category either. I can't be a chess player and say, you know what, I think I'm gonna go play basketball now.
No, it doesn't work that way, people.
No, it's not a sport. We're unique, and we should stay that way. I really wish they'd stop.
And unique little flowers.
That's right. And I'm also sick of the whole, we need to give credence to video games. The cool thing about us all being nerds is we could give a flip whether or not you like us, whether you accept us.
honest to God, we just don't care. And if you do care, you don't belong in this camp, because it takes some courage to be a nerd and be different. It takes courage. If you're worried about if people think you're not athletic, then you don't belong here. Because I do know some athletes that are gamers. I would like to point out on our Facebook page, I'm not going to say his real name, but I'll tell his gamer tag, Steel, and rightly earned so, because Steel does look like the Man of Steel. Steel is hot, and he's a gamer. And
I'm going to have to go check this out in a second.
I'll tell you who he is off air. I'm not going to say his real name, because he may not. He's very shy, so he may not want the attention is why. But I love me some Steel. Whenever I see him, I'm all over the guns. Let me just tell you.
Very nice. So, very nice.
So, no, we know that it's not true. I don't think so. His woman may be cutting us after the show if he has one. Or his man, I don't know.
Our
I ain't judging.
Our bad. What you talking?
Like, you hear what I said? Or his man, I don't know, and I ain't judging. Whoever, but
either way.
People, please. Anyway, I get tired of that whole, yeah, they just give credence that all gamers are not out of shape. No, we're not all out of shape. Have you seen my legs? Let me just.
Corey's hot.
Corey, I said, not right now, I'm not. Y'all
unreal.
Don't see
me. Unreal.
Look, not right now. I just got up, so y'all don't really want to.
Yes, we do.
You don't want to see what's going on over here. This is out of control.
That's not true, Corey. Corey's so hot. We still want to see it.
I can't. I'll get cut.
Aw, come on.
You know what? And I can't trust you. Mm-mm. I will send Ginger a picture, and then it will be up, like, within hours. No, ma'am. I know how you operate.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
What you got? What you got?
Oh, this is interesting. That better not be a B right there. GameStop buying used iOS devices. Has a crappy iPhone lying about? Well, apparently you can resell it to GameStop, the world's largest video game retailer.
What? You can sell what to them? Repeat that, because I...
iPhones. Crappy iPhones. Your old iPhones that you no longer want. Mm-hmm. The world's largest video game retailer will start buying Apple's iOS devices from customers, according to a report from 9to5Max. According to a screen grab from the site, GameStop is saying that it buys iOS devices for store credit. All right, so what's the actual blurb? The blurb says, did you know that GameStop now buys your old iPod, iPhone, and iPad devices? Trade them in at GameStop for in-store credit. Perfect for trading games, accessories, systems, and more. Bring in your old iPod or iPad and Game Advisor. Oh, and a Game Advisor can assist you. Plus, you'll score power-up rewards points on every item traded. No, I don't. Why are they doing that?
Because Target is doing it.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I think I'll go with Target first. Sorry, GameStop. I don't like y'all. GameStop quietly unveiled the new trade-in program last week at a trade show in Las Vegas. While some local stores have confirmed that they do indeed accept iOS devices as trade-ins, some stores are not currently in the program, probably meaning that GameStop is dipping its toes into the waters. What we do not know is what devices they'll ultimately accept and what the company plans to do with them when they have bought them. Will they resell them to another company or directly to consumers? Stay tuned. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. But I'm glad to hear that a lot of these companies are starting to buy these things back, so they're not just sitting around or getting thrown into the trash where they really, really, really don't need to be.
Cut them.
Mm-hmm. I'll cut you.
Cut them. Let God sort them out later. All right. more gaming news. Lots of good stuff that's out. Okay, wait a minute. What happened to my... I love when Firefox decides it needs to update in the middle of the newscast.
Oh, it better not do that.
It just popped up. I said no, but it's still trying to.
No.
All right. Well, here's an interesting thing. Reverb Communications sent this over to us. Wait a minute. Where is it? There you go. Ratloop Asia, who's an independent publisher and developer of high-quality, innovative games for the hardcore audience. Today announced that it signed Los Angeles-based indie rock band New World Revolution to provide in-game music for cinematic platform adventure titled Rocket Birds, Hard Boiled Chicken. Yes, it is another
Rocket Birds.
You heard me. Perfectly orchestrated to unlockable music videos and cutscenes, the exclusive tracks from the New England World Revolution artistically unveil the untold story of main character Hard Boiled Chicken, and expose the truth behind the evil penguin regime that Hardboiled sets out to destroy.
Rocket Bird's Hard Boiled Chicken delivers a brand new fusion of gaming and music that they hope will expand and grow the cinematic platform. That's from Sian Yutan, who's the producer and studio head over at Rat Loop Asia. He said, Herwig is my friend, and I'm a fan of his music. The music and lyrics complement the game so well, it's as if they were written for Rocket Birds. Together, they add unique vibe to the cinematics, and the art, and the gameplay. New World Revolution, that is led by artist Herwig Maurer, has completely been tagged as the esoteric science fiction rock band that is unlike typical modern rock. The band is known for incorporating new electronic sounds with classic trend-setting musical riffs that deliver political, utopian lyrical messages. Having been called a modern-day version... yes. Having been called a modern-day version of Pink Floyd, New World Revolution has carved out a distinguished space for itself among the sea of indie rock bands. Anyway, you can check out some of their music. I'll probably put this up. You can go over and check out the game, and then I will provide a link where you can download at least the game-opening cinematic music. Wow, I can't talk. And, of course, there'll be a listing of tracks. And, yes, this just came in. I love when I do that. And if it's good, maybe we'll add it to the lineup here, but I can't promise you.
I don't know.
If it's not good, because I haven't heard it. Literally, this just popped into the mailbox like 2 seconds ago. You're getting it first, fresh and hot.
Well, I've got some rumors. All right, I'm pulling this. Actually, I just found this on Facebook, and it looks like they're actually pulling it from G4. Call of Duty third-person horror game existed, but has been put on hold. All right, so in an interview with GamerZines.com, Sledgehammer Games boss Glenn Schofield revealed that his company had been working on a third-person Call of Duty game with a tone similar to Dead Space. In other words, war is horror. When Sledge was tapped to work on Modern Warfare 3 with Infinity Ward, the untitled project was put on ice, breaking the hearts of action horror fans like the writer all over the earth. All right, so what's Schofield have to say? It was a third-person action-adventure game, it was a shooter, and it was not based in this era. It had a lot of atmosphere like, I would say, Dead Space, a little bit, because you were underground in some places. You know, war is hell, war is scary, and that's what we were trying to get across. The writer goes on to say, I can only hope that the development of the game will be put back on track since Modern Warfare 3 is complete, but for now, Schofield isn't saying whether or not that's the plan, but either way, it's probably going to take a while. Schofield went on to say, I want to make at least one more first-person shooter. I want to get really good at it. I would definitely 100% work with Infinity Ward again, because they're just the best, but I wouldn't mind giving Sledgehammer a shot on something. That's kind of interesting.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see, because you know they'll be fighting. You're too close to us, and we don't like it, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be a fight. There
probably
usually is. All right. Well, it is time for us to take a lovely, lovely break. In the interim, Ginger's going to run out and grab us some pizza. And
pizza.
I'm going to get the coffee. I'm off pizza until January. That's what I'm saying.
I hadn't had some in like weeks, and yeah,
I'm off
had
the pizza.
Good night.
I'm out of control. I'm out of control. I really am. But anyway, people, you know where to find us, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Gonna grab everything I can. You're gonna want to see this.
Come back afterwards. I've got a contest I want to know about.
This is gonna be good. What?
Oh.
Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills.
Pills here.
Grabbing pills.
Woo!
Grabbing pills.
Yeah.
Grabbing pills. Peel. Peel. Peel.
Nice. Nice.
Damn
nice,
straight.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice. Nice.
Oh hell yeah.
Oh.
Nice. Nice.
All right.
Hello?
Zoe!
Ah!
And to Jay Dukes, yes, we do need to catch up. He says his frying pan is getting dusty. It's time to kill some zombies again.
Yes.
I concur. It is time to kill some zombies. The only good zombie is a dead zombie. Unless I'm becoming a zombie, in which case, please do not hit me with your frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's my turn, isn't it? Is it my turn?
I think so, yeah.
Did we talk about the Noah's Ark Facebook game? Did we talk about that?
No, I don't think we did.
Well, News Corp, always the center of controversy. Apparently, Rupert Murdoch's entry into the social game business may not be Zynga's killer yet, but it's a start. According to VentureBeat, News Corp's Making Fun is announcing today the launch of Noah's Ark, a social game on Facebook. The title is a second game launched by Making Fun since it was acquired by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Rupert Murdoch, who's still in trouble in the UK, by the way, earlier this year, and it's one of the first titles targeting the untapped market for religious games on social networks. It's not going to go over well, people. While Zynga has the most popular categories of games covered on Facebook, the social network's audience may still be open to new kinds of games, such as religious titles. That's the bet that Making Fun has made in making a Farmville-style game based on the Old Testament story. If it's right, Making Fun could grab a lucrative niche on Facebook and other new game platforms as well. John Welsh, chief executive of Making Fun in San Francisco, said in an interview that his publishing company is gathering a full lineup of titles on Facebook and on the iPhone. Making Fun represents Murdoch's attempt to cash in on the craze around social gaming, but Welsh says his company is an independent entity and that it isn't necessarily going to be tied to just News Corp content. You're right. You didn't know you were signing a deal with the devil? Really?
Mm-hmm.
He says it's part of our plan to bring a new and different game to the market that no one else is doing. Our aim is to put out really high-quality titles in partnership with a variety of developers. The Noah's Ark title is suitable for all ages and skill levels, and Welsh said that even non-religious mass market audience may take to the game as well, since the story is pretty universally appreciated one. This isn't a game. You have to plant and harvest different kinds of crops so you can attract different kinds of animals. You also have to chop wood and collect other materials to build the ark. Those familiar with game mechanics will be familiar to you Farmville fans. Well, so that the company tapped the News Corp subsidiary, Zondervan, for Bible trivia used in the game. See, now you lost me. You said Bible and trivia. Those two words I do not like. Okay, so the title may or may not take off, but Welsh said his company is committed to launching titles on a regular basis. He said the gold rush days are over for Facebook games. I believe you. The price of ads is going up. It's harder to compete. You don't necessarily want to go head-to-head with Zynga, but there's a lot of room for growth. This stage is called evolution and maturity, and it's not at all cause for pessimism. Making Fun, of course, collaborated with veteran game development team at Detonator Games to produce Noah's Ark. Well said that it'll be common for Making Fun to tap outside developers to make its games that are published under the Making Fun name. Several more titles are in the pipeline, including iPhone games. Making Fun also released another game, Clash, Rise of the Heroes, a couple of weeks ago, which I looked at and went, eh. The game is a relaunch of a title developed by another company. It is aimed at young male fans who like comic books, really? Card collecting and superheroes. You lost us again. The game is focused on niche, but Wells said that the game is monetizing several times better than other titles. Quantify Games, headed by brothers Josh and Daniel Quick, created the game. Welsh and game veteran Lee Crawford. Wait a minute, I know Lee. Founded Making Fun in 2009, and they sold it to News Corp. Wait a minute, nope, that's a different Crawford. Never mind. They sold it to News Corp in 2010, November last year. Making Fun has 15 employees, and Welsh said that more games are coming soon, including one in the sports category. Did we not report news a couple weeks ago that the women were the ones buying most of the things in the social games, and then you go and make a game aimed at the guys? They're not the ones spending the money?
Yeah.
And you got Bible trivia in your game? I'm done with you.
Yep, I agree. I'm not going to play your game. Thanks.
Thanks for playing. Ding, 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 ding. Wow. moving it along. This Ginger Quick chick keeps...
tweeting? I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh, I lost my story. Hold on. Let me go back. There we go. Okay, the virtual marathon for medical research. Einstein would be proud. A 21st Century Einstein $2,500 award for avatar creation contest. All right, so Albert Einstein has inspired generations of scientists, researchers, and the general public to appreciate the possibilities of discovery, to explore the limits of how we imagine the universe, and to be inspired by the deep mysteries of time and space. All right, so the questions are, if it were somehow possible to bring Einstein back in an avatar form, what would he look like?
Uh-oh.
Would he be serious or would he be playful? How would he respond to a life online? Would his 21st century avatar form look like his 20th century body? Put your own imagination and sense of discovery to work and create a 21st century Einstein. You'll not only be creating an avatar for a 20th century icon, you'll be contributing to science. All right, so here are a couple of rules. Creating a face for an important cause. The winning entry in the Einstein Avatar Creation Competition will be used in an online fundraising campaign for IMRIC. This fundraising campaign will include virtual world, social media, live event, and video to reach out to individuals and raise funds for global medical research projects. We are inviting anyone with an interest in 3D design to create an Einstein avatar and to imagine how he'd look if he took form in a virtual world. The winning entry will be used in the virtual world of Second Life to engage with audiences and to film machinima, machine-based cinema, that will be used in a global online campaign to raise funds for medical research. Your submission should be sent to info@remedylimited.com. They say please email us a photo of your submission and provide either a link to the attachment with 3D assets, details, or confirmation that you have sent Second Life assets to Dusan Ryder. All right, so what are the criteria? Design an avatar for Albert Einstein. While the avatar should be recognizable as Einstein, feel free to use your imagination to design an Einstein suitable to our digital century. Entries should be Second Life compatible, although they can take advantage of the mesh import function of the virtual world. Ooh, that's so nice. I love me some mesh. Entries should be original work only, and the entrants must certify that they are the sole rights holder or have all necessary permissions for submitted content. Entries can consist of photos, 3D models, videos, or Second Life asset folders. Following initial entries, a short list of more than 6 finalists will be selected and their entries publicized. These entries will be required to submit all raw assets, including OBJ files, textures, or Second Life compatible items like shapes and skins. A panel of judges will evaluate the entries. The criteria for judging is to select an avatar that best represents the ideals, vision, and iconography and image of Albert Einstein as imagined for the 21st century. The panel will be selected by IMRIC and will have the right to make final decision about the winning entrant. All right, so first place wins $1,500, second place $750, and third place $250. In order for winners to receive their prizes, they will be required to sign a release form related to the use of the assets and to certify rights. Okay, so you need to submit this no later than 11:59 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, September 9th of 2011. Ooh, that's in 2 days, people, so you better get on this. Announcements of finalists is going to be happening on September 12th, and the winners announced on September 19th. Yay! So, yeah,
all
get on
right.
this if you want to get this done. That's kind of cool.
It is very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got some juicy news I just found out.
Oh, yeah? What'd you find out?
Well, two pieces of juicy news. First of all, for those of you who were wondering about Google Voice for takeout, they launched that yesterday morning, in case you weren't paying attention. Google takeout is going to allow you to download a copy of your data that you stored within your Google product. So you might want to go over and take a look at that, getting some interesting views. Apparently the audio that you get it'll come in MP3 format.
Mm-hmm.
They also will send you an SMS, which will be an HTML file, and they do have a video explaining to you how it all works if you pop over to the Google Voice blog. Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can get a URL for that. Most of you go, you'll probably find it if you Google. You guys know how to use Google. But that is not the juice. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Well, Dead Island on Steam? Bad. Steam gets an incorrect version of Dead Eye, according to Dead Eye. I like that. I think I'm going to keep that name, Dead Eye. This is from GI.biz. Deep Silver admitted that Steam players received the incorrect version of zombie games Dead Island, developed by the Polish company Techland. The Steam forums currently contain 14 pages of issues reported by players, including freezing, crashes, and similar issues with controls. Other users suggest that the published version...
Ouch.
Yes. Other users suggest that the published version is actually a development build rather than the finished game. They're saying in a statement, "We deeply regret that an incorrect version of Dead Island was inadvertently made available to players on Steam launch in North America," said the official statement on the game's Facebook page. He says, "We are very sorry for any issues you may have experienced while playing the game. The correct patch version will be made available to North American players ASAP. Other territories are not affected by this situation. The fully patched game will be available on Friday," as announced. TechLens patch is said to include 37 separate fixes. Ouch. Now, here's where one has to wonder. Did they also put the incorrect version on the discs? Don't know. Which means there'll be a patch for everybody.
Somebody tell us. I know somebody who bought that yesterday. I'm going to have to be like, "Hey, do you have problems?
How's it going?"
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm trying to see if anybody's left a comment. No.
At least she makes that voice, and that does not sound good.
Well, somebody's asking if they possibly got the Xbox 360 build, so, of course, someone is correcting them, saying not possible. It wouldn't run, and Steam wouldn't allow that build to go on their system. That's true. Interesting. Mm. This and Techland are the same people that made Call of Juarez. Remember I told you Call of Juarez was full of bugs. It was so full of bugs I just decided not to even share a review with you all, guys. The storyline, beautiful. I don't know who wrote the story. Excellent storyline, but I couldn't get through it. You know, after you get hit by a truck 3 or 4 times in a row.
I'm sorry. I laughed so hard hearing about that.
Yeah, I laughed hard too. Oh my God. And that is one of my nightmares. That one of the things I'm afraid. Very few things scare me, but being hit by something and being stuck and can't get out is a nightmare. And this is in first person view, and I'm trying to figure out how do I get in the car, and I look up and there's a truck coming. And it's not just a truck, it's an 18-wheeler with logs on the back.
That's hilarious.
And he didn't even try to brake for poor Corey. He just slammed. I was gone.
Oh.
And then, of course, it respawns me, and I'm still outside the car. So I get hit over and over and over.
Oh, poor Corey.
It's like poor GLaDOS saying, "I was forced to experience my death over and over and over and over."
GLaDOS is evil, man. She won't forget about that either.
And of course not. We love you, GLaDOS. Please don't cut us.
Right. Do not cut us, GLaDOS. We love you.
We've got 2 minutes. You want to do it or you want to go?
Let's go.
All right. We are so out of here. We will see you guys tomorrow bright and early. And remember, tomorrow you get us twice.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
They like us. They think they like us. They really, really like us.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho.
Saw you eating those dots in that maze. I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love.
These colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh no.
Oh yeah.
See you guys tomorrow, Jen.
See you, boys and girls.
I see you singing the song.
Oh yeah, what?